Attack on Pearl Harbor, from Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia, http://en.wikipedia.org. The Imperial Japanese Navy made its attack on Pearl Harbor on the morning of December 7, 1941. The surprise attack on Pearl Harbor, Oahu, Hawaii, was aimed at the Pacific Fleet of the United States Navy and its defending Army Air Corps and Marine Air Forces. The attack damaged or destroyed 12 U.S. warships, destroyed 188 aircraft, and killed 2,403 American servicemen and 68 civilians. Admiral Isoroku Yamamoto reluctantly planned the raid as the start of the Pacific Campaign of World War II, and it was commanded by Vice Admiral Chuichi Nagumo, who lost 64 servicemen. However, the Pacific Fleet's three aircraft carriers were not in port and so were undamaged, as were oil tank farms, submarine pens, and machine shops. Using these resources, the United States was able to rebound within 6 months to a year. The U.S. public saw the attack as a treacherous act and rallied against the Japanese Empire, causing the United States to enter World War II. This attack has also been called the Bombing of Pearl Harbor and the Battle of Pearl Harbor, but, most commonly, the Attack on Pearl Harbor or simply Pearl Harbor. Section 1. Japanese Preparations. Japan had seized Manchuria in 1931 and had been fighting the Second Sino-Japanese War with China since 1937. During 1941, the long-standing tensions between the Japanese Empire and the United States resulting from these military adventures were rising. The United States and the United Kingdom reacted to Japanese military actions in China by imposing a scrap metal boycott, followed by an oil boycott, a freeze of assets, and the closing of the Panama Canal to Japanese shipping. Diplomatic negotiations climaxed with the Hull Note of November 26, 1941, which Prime Minister Hideki Tojo described to his cabinet as an ultimatum. The oil boycott beginning in the summer was especially threatening to Japan and their navy, which lacked oil resources of its own. Japanese leaders saw only two choices: give in to the demands of the USA and the UK and back out of China, or escalate the conflict to try to acquire control of oil and other resources, primarily in Southeast Asia. By the time of the Hull Note, they had settled on the second course. The Japanese had been impressed with Admiral Andrew Cunningham's Operation Judgment, the Battle of Taranto, where 20 elderly biplanes, fairy swordfish, launched from a carrier force way in advance of the main British base at Alexandria, disabled half the Italian battle fleet and forced the withdrawal of the Italian fleet to behind Naples. Yamamoto dispatched a naval delegation to Italy, which concluded a larger and better supported version of Cunningham's brilliant maneuver could force the U.S. fleet back to California, giving time to achieve the Greater East Asia Co-Prosperity Sphere, shorthand for control of the oil reserves of the Dutch East Indies, with a defensible buffer around them. Most importantly, the delegation returned to Japan with the secret of the shallow running torpedo which Cunningham's boffins had devised. Additionally, some Japanese strategists may have been influenced by the actions of U.S. Admiral Harry Yarnell in the 1932 joint Army-Navy exercises, which presumed an invasion of Hawaii by hostile forces. Yarnell, in the role of the commander of the attacking fleet, sailed his aircraft carriers northwest of Oahu into rough weather, and launched attack planes on the morning of Sunday, 7th of February, 1932. Judges assigned to gauge the effectiveness of the attack noted that Yarnell's aircraft were able to inflict serious damage on the defenders, who were unable to locate his fleet 24 hours after the attack. Conventional Navy doctrine of the time believed that any attacking force would be set upon and destroyed by the battleship fleet stationed at Pearl Harbor, and dismissed Yarnell's strategy as impractical in the real world. The intent of the attack on Pearl Harbor was to neutralize American naval power in the Pacific, if only temporarily, as part of a theater-wide, near-simultaneous coordinated attack against several different countries. Admiral Isoroku Yamamoto himself expected that even a successful attack would gain only a year or so of freedom of action. Preliminary planning for a Pearl Harbor attack in support of military advance elsewhere began in January 1941, and training for the mission was underway by mid-year when the project was finally judged worthwhile after some Imperial Navy factional infighting. The planned attack depended on torpedoes, but the weapons of the time required deep water to function if air launched. Over the summer of 1941, Japan secretly created and tested torpedo modifications that could be expected to work properly after airdrop in shallow water. The effort resulted in the Type 95 torpedo, which inflicted most of the damage to U.S. ships during the attack. Japanese weapons technicians also produced special armor-piercing bombs by fitting fins on 14 and 15-inch, or 365 and 381-millimeter, naval gun shells. These were able to penetrate the armored decks of battleships and cruisers when dropped from 10,000 feet, or 3,000 meters. On November 26, 1941, a fleet including six aircraft carriers commanded by Japanese Vice Admiral Chuichi Nagumo left Hitokapu Bay in the Kuril Islands under orders of strict radio silence bound for Hawaii. The aircraft carriers involved in the attack were Akugi, Hiryu, Kaga, Shokaku, Koryu, and Tsukaku. Two fast battleships, two heavy cruisers, one light cruiser, nine destroyers, and three fleet submarines provided escort for the task force. The carriers had a total of 423 planes, including Mitsubishi Type Zero, quote, Zero fighters, Nakajima Type 97, quote, Kate torpedo bombers, and Aichi Type 99, quote, Val dive bombers. The Japanese task force and its air group were larger than any previous aerial strike force. Accompanying the fleet were eight tankers for underway refueling. In addition, the advanced expeditionary force included 20 fleet submarines and five two-man Ko Hayuteki class midget submarines. They were to gather intelligence and sink any U.S. vessels that might try to flee Pearl Harbor during the air attack. Section 2. United States Preparedness. Main Article. Pearl Harbor Advance Knowledge Debate. U.S. civilian and military intelligence forces had, between them, good information suggesting additional Japanese aggression throughout the summer and fall before the attack. None of it specifically indicated an attack against Pearl Harbor. During November, both the Navy and Army in Hawaii were explicitly warned that war with Japan was expected in the very near future. And, on the day of the attack, General Marshall sent an imminent war message to Pearl Harbor. In Hawaii, there were several indications of the incoming attack, but none caused or allowed enough time to cause increased readiness. Had any of this produced an active alert status, the attack would have been resisted more effectively and perhaps caused much less damage. The attack arrived at a Pearl Harbor which was unprepared. Anti-aircraft weapons were not manned, ammunition was locked down, anti-submarine measures were not implemented, combat air patrols were not flying, scouting aircraft not already flying at dawn, etc. U.S. Signals Intelligence, through the Army Signal Intelligence Service and the Office of Naval Intelligence's OP-20G unit, intercepted Japanese diplomatic traffic and had broken many Japanese ciphers. Distribution of this intelligence was poor and did not include material from Japanese military traffic as this was not available. The information was, as is common in such cases, partial, seemingly contradictory, or insufficiently distributed, as in the case of the Winds Code. Warnings were sent to all U.S. forces commands in the Pacific in November of 1940. Despite the growing information pointing to a new phase of Japanese aggression, there was little information specific to Pearl Harbor. American commanders were warned that tests had shown that shallow water torpedo air launches were possible, but no one in charge fully appreciated the danger posed by new developments. Expecting that Pearl Harbor had natural defenses against torpedo attack, i.e., shallow water, the U.S. Navy failed to add torpedo nets or baffles, which they judged cumbersome and a low priority. Due to a claimed shortage of long-distance planes, long reconnaissance patrols were not being made. At the time of the attack, the Army was training rather than on alert. Most of its portable anti-aircraft guns were stowed, with the ammunition kept locked in separate armories. To avoid upsetting property owners, the officers did not keep the guns dispersed onto private property. Section 3. Breaking off negotiations. Part of the Japanese plans for the attack included breaking off negotiations with the United States 30 minutes before the attack. Diplomats from the Japanese embassy in Washington, including the Japanese ambassador, Admiral Kichisaburo Nomura, and Special Representative Saburo Kurusu, had been conducting extended talks with the State Department regarding the U.S. reactions to the Japanese move in Indochina in the summer. In the days before the attack, a long multi-part message was sent to the embassy from the Foreign Office in Tokyo, encoded with the purple cryptographic machine, with instructions to deliver it to the Secretary of State, Cordell Hull, at 1 p.m. Washington time, that is, just 30 minutes before the attack was scheduled to begin. The last part arrived not long before the attack, but because of decryption and typing delays, embassy personnel could not manage to do so. The last part, breaking off negotiations. Begin quote. Obviously, it is the intention of the American government to conspire with Great Britain and other countries to obstruct Japan's efforts toward the establishment of peace through the creation of a new order in East Asia. Thus, the earnest hope of the Japanese government to adjust Japanese-American relations and to preserve and promote the peace of the Pacific through cooperation with the American government has finally been lost, end quote, and was delivered to Secretary Hull well after the intended time. Japanese records admitted into evidence during congressional hearings on the attack established that the Japanese had not even written a declaration of war until after they heard of the successful attack on Pearl Harbor. That two-line declaration of war was finally delivered to Ambassador Gru in Tokyo about 10 hours after the attack was over. He was allowed to transmit it to the United States, where it was received late Monday afternoon. The United States had decrypted the last part of the final message well before the Japanese embassy managed to, and long before a finished typed copy of the decrypt was finished. It was decryption of the last part which prompted General Marshall to send his famous warning to Hawaii that morning. It was actually delivered by a young Japanese-American cycle messenger to General Walter Short at Pearl Harbor several hours after the attack had ended. The delay was due to the fact that General Marshall was out riding and that the Army decided not to use naval facilities to transmit it. After the Army's long-distance communications system had difficulties, the Army elected to use commercial cable. Somehow its urgent marking was misplaced during its travels, and it was delayed several hours. Section 4. The attack. The first shots fired and the first casualties in the attack on Pearl Harbor actually occurred when USS Ward attacked and sank a midget submarine at 6:37 a.m. Hawaiian time. There were five Hayoteki-class midget submarines which planned to torpedo U.S. ships after the bombing started. None of the subs made it back safely, and only four out of the five have since been found. Of the 10 sailors aboard the five submarines, nine died, and the only survivor, Kazuo Sakamaki, was captured, becoming the first prisoner of war captured by the Americans in World War I. Recent United States Naval Institute photographic analysis indicates one midget submarine managed to enter the harbor and successfully fired a torpedo into West Virginia. The final disposition of the submarine is unknown. On the morning of the attack, the Army's Opana Point radar station detected the Japanese force, but the warning was confused with an expected arrival of U.S. aircraft and discounted. Some commercial shipping may have reported unusual radio traffic. A number of U.S. aircraft were shot down as the air attack approached. One at least radioed a somewhat incoherent warning. Other warnings were still being processed or awaiting confirmation when the attack began. The attack on Pearl Harbor began at 7:35 a.m. on the 7th of December, Hawaiian time, which was 3:23 a.m. December 8th, Japan Standard Time. The Japanese planes attacked in two waves, in which a total of 353 planes reached Oahu. Vulnerable torpedo bombers led the first wave of 183 planes, exploiting the first moments of surprise by attacking the hoped-for aircraft carriers and battleships, while dive bombers attacked the U.S. air bases across Oahu, starting with Hickam Field, the largest, and Wheeler Airfield, the principal fighter base. The 170 planes of the second wave attacked Bellows Field and Ford Island, a marine and naval air base in the middle of Pearl Harbor. The only opposition came from some P-36 Hawks and P-40 Warhawks that flew 25 sorties and from naval anti-aircraft fire. The men in the ships were woken to the sounds of bombs exploding and cries of, begin quote, away fire and rescue party, end quote, and begin quote, all hands on deck, we're being bombed, end quote. Despite the lack of preparation, which included locked ammunition lockers and undispersed aircraft, there were American military personnel who served with distinction during the battle. Rear Admiral Isaac C. Kidd and Captain Franklin Van Valkenburg, commander of Arizona, both rushed to the bridge of Arizona and directed the ship's defense, until both were killed by an explosion in the forward ammunition magazine, caused by an armor-piercing bomb strike next to one of the forward main battery gun turrets. Both were posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. Ensign Joe Taussig got his ship, Nevada, underway from a dead start during the attack. A destroyer got underway with only four officers on board, all ensigns, none of whom had more than a year's sea duty. That ship operated for 4 days at sea before its commanding officer caught up with it. Captain Mervyn Binion, commanding officer of West Virginia, calmly led his men in battle until he was cut down by fragmentation from a bomb hit aboard Tennessee, moored alongside her. Earliest credit goes to submarine USS Tautog, which claimed the first attacker downed. Probably the most famous hero is Doris Dory Miller, an African-American cook on West Virginia, who went beyond the call of duty when he took control of an unattended anti-aircraft gun, for which he had no training, and used it to fire on the attacking planes, downing at least one, even while bombs were hitting his ship. He was awarded the Navy Cross. In all, 14 sailors and officers were awarded the Medal of Honor. A special military award, the Pearl Harbor Commemorative Medal, was later authorized to all military veterans of the attack. 90 minutes after it began, the attack was over. 2,403 Americans had lost their lives, of which 68 were civilians, many of whom were killed by American anti-aircraft shells falling back onto Honolulu, and a further 1,178 were wounded. 18 ships were sunk, including 5 battleships. Nearly half of the American fatalities, 1,102 men, were caused by the explosion and sinking of the Arizona. It was destroyed when a converted 40-centimeter shell, dropped from a high-altitude level bomber, smashed through its two armored decks and detonated the forward main gun magazine. The hull of the Arizona became a memorial to those lost that day, most of whom remain within the ship. Nevada attempted to sortie seaward, but was ordered to beach itself to avoid blocking the harbor entrance. Already damaged by a torpedo and on fire forward, Nevada was targeted by many Japanese bombers as it sailed away. It sustained more hits from 250-pound or 113-kilogram bombs as it beached. The California was hit by two bombs and two torpedoes, and the crew may have kept her afloat if they had not been ordered to abandon ship just as they were raising power for the pumps. Burning oil from the Arizona and the West Virginia was drifting down on her. The disarmed Utah was holed twice by torpedoes. West Virginia was hit by no less than seven torpedoes, the seventh tearing the ship's rudder away. Oklahoma was hit by four torpedoes, the last two impacting above its side armor belt. Maryland was hit by two of the converted 40-centimeter shells, but neither caused serious damage. Although the Japanese concentrated on major battleships, they did not ignore other targets. The light cruiser Helena was torpedoed, and the concussion from the blast capsized the neighboring mine layer Oglala. Two destroyers in dry block were destroyed when bombs penetrated their fuel tanks. The leading fuel caught fire, and flooding the dry dock only made the oil rise, which burned out the ships. The light cruiser Raleigh was hit by a torpedo and holed. The light cruiser Honolulu was damaged, but returned to service. The destroyer Cassin was capsized, and Downs, also a destroyer, was heavily damaged. The repair vessel Vestal was heavily damaged and beached. The seaplane tender Curtis was damaged. Almost every one of the 188 American aircraft that were destroyed and 155 that were damaged were hit on the ground. Attacks on barracks killed additional pilots. Friendly fire brought down several planes. 55 Japanese airmen and 9 submariners were killed in action. Of Japanese 441 planes, 350 took part in the attack. 29 were lost during the battle, 9 in the first attack wave and 20 in the second wave. And another 74 were damaged by flak and machine gun fire from the ground. Over 20 of the aircraft that safely landed on their carriers were irreparable. Section 5. Nagumo's decision to withdraw after two strikes. Some senior officers and flight leaders urged Nagumo to attack with a third strike to destroy the oil storage depots, machine shops, and dry docks at Pearl Harbor. The United States had considered the vulnerability of the fuel oil storage tanks before the war and secretly started construction of the bomb-resistant Red Hill fuel tanks before the Japanese attack. Destruction of these facilities would have greatly increased the U.S. Navy's difficulties, as the nearest immediately usable fleet facilities would have been several thousand miles east of Hawaii on America's west coast. Some military historians have suggested that the destruction of oil tanks and repair facilities would have crippled the U.S. Pacific Fleet more seriously than the loss of several battleships. Nagumo decided to forego a third attack in favor of withdrawing for several reasons. 1. That anti-aircraft performance during the second strike was much improved over that during the first, and two-thirds of the Japanese losses happened during the second wave, due in part to the Americans being alerted. A third strike could have been expected to suffer still worse losses. Secondly, the first two strikes had essentially used all the previously prepped aircraft available, so a third strike would have taken some time to prepare, allowing the Americans time to, perhaps, find and attack Nagumo's force. The location of the American carriers was and remained unknown to Nagumo. Thirdly, the Japanese pilots had not practiced an attack against the Pearl Harbor shore facilities, and organizing such an attack would have taken still more time, although several of the strike leaders urged a third strike anyway. Fourthly, the fuel situation did not permit remaining on station north of Pearl Harbor much longer. The Japanese were acting at the limit of their logistical ability to support the strike on Pearl Harbor. To remain in those waters for much longer would have risked running unacceptably low on fuel. Fifth, the timing of a third strike would have been such that aircraft would probably have returned to their carriers after dark. Night operations from aircraft carriers were in their infancy in 1941, and neither the Japanese nor anyone else had developed reliable techniques and doctrine. Sixth, the second strike had essentially completed the entire mission, neutralization of the American Pacific Fleet. Seventh, there was the simple danger of remaining near one place for too long. The Japanese were very fortunate to have escaped detection during their voyage from the inland sea to Hawaii. The longer they remained off Hawaii, the more danger they were in from U.S. submarines and the absent American carriers. Finally, the carriers were needed to support the main Japanese attack toward the Southern Resources Area, the Philippines, the Dutch East Indies, Malaysia, and Burma, which was intended to capture oil and other supplies. The Japanese government had been reluctant to allow the attack at all as it took air cover from the southern thrust, and Nagumo was under strict orders not to risk his command any more than necessary. As the war games during the planning of the attack had predicted that from 2 to 4 carriers might be lost in the attack, Nagumo must have been very happy to suffer no losses and did not want to push his luck.